Our scripture lessons today is Micah from the Old Testament, starting at chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. And then we'll be jumping to James in the New Testament, James chapter 2, 14 through 18. So if you want to aerobicize with me and flip back and forth, that would be great. If not, follow on the screen. Hear these words. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Would the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Both, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from my works, and I, by my works, will show you my faith. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'd invite you to stand for the reading of the scripture. It's from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand, and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food? Or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, you that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, When was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The word of God. Thanks be to God. I've titled my sermon Challenges. Couldn't come up with anything very descriptive. It's great to drift with the current swift and to lie in the boat and dream, but God's great plan demands someone who can paddle the canoe upstream. When Pastor Peter asked if I would preach today, and I said yes, I found a few definitions of preaching that were helpful to me in preparing the message. One, preaching is proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Two, preaching is a judgment on those conditions that make people less than God meant them to be. Three, preaching is the recognition that God is the God of all people everywhere. Four, preaching is the proclamation of God's love. And five, preaching is the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ made relevant for the situations in which hearers find themselves. I've been reading a book by Brian McLaren. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but it's entitled Everything Must Change. And in it, he proposes some challenging ideas and two questions for consideration by people of faith. Number one, what are the biggest problems this world is facing? And by biggest, consider what problems cause the most suffering in the present and what pose the greatest threat to our future. And what causes most of the other problems that signal things that are wrong in our world? The second question is, what do the life and teachings of Jesus Christ have to say about these critical global problems? We need to identify what some of the problems are. This has been part of the work of the United Nations. It lists 8 key problems that they pledged to address by 2015. Number one, eradicate extreme poverty and hunger. That's at the top of the list. Two, achieve universal primary education. Three, promote gender equality and empower women. Number four, reduce child mortality. Number five, improve maternal health. Number six, combat HIV, AIDS, malaria, and other diseases. Number seven, ensure environmental sustainability. And number eight, develop a global partnership for development. I thought it was interesting. I don't know if you heard of Rick Warren, who wrote the book The Purpose-Driven Church and the Purpose-Driven Life. He compiled a list, and he identifies 5 global giants. Number one, spiritual emptiness. Number two, selfish, lazy, ineffective, or corrupt leadership. Number three, poverty. Number four, disease. And number five, ignorance. Some additional questions flowed from the first two questions. Why hasn't the Christian religion made a difference commensurate with its message, its size, and its resources? The Christian religion is the largest religion in the world. It was about 2 billion members, or what would need to happen for followers of Jesus to become a greater force for good? And how could we make a positive difference? Let us look at the essential message of Jesus. He used a metaphor again and again to convey his message. He used the metaphor, the kingdom of God. This message was not focused on how to escape this world and its problems. It focused instead on how God's will could be done on earth, in history, and during this life. The kingdom of God is not simply a new belief or doctrine that can be patched into an old way of life. It is, rather, a new way of life, and that changes everything. Jesus bursts on the scene with the scandalous message, "The time has come. Rethink everything. A radically new kind of empire is available, the kingdom of God. Believe this good news. Open your minds and hearts like children to see things freshly in new ways. Follow me and my words and enter into a new way of living." At every point, the essence of his kingdom teaching subverts common sense, like the topsy-turvy angel in the children's story. Jesus taught, "Don't get revenge when wronged. Seek reconciliation. Don't repay violence with violence, but seek creative alternatives. Don't focus on external conformity to moral codes, but focus on internal transformation and love. Don't love insiders and fear outsiders. Welcome outsiders into a new humanity that celebrates diversity in the context of love for all, justice for all, and mutual respect for all. Don't be anxious about money, security, or pleasure, but trust yourself to God's care. Don't live for wealth, but live for the living God who loves all people. Don't hate your enemies or competitors. Love them and do for them as you wish they would do for you." Jesus' invitation is to begin living into this new way right now. This is our call to action. When we realize that the most powerful, world-changing work we can do is simply to believe, we experience a new sense of energy and purpose. This is personal action. Then there's community action. New kinds of faith communities are emerging. Virile, nurturing, courageous communities that center their theology on Jesus' revolution message of the kingdom of God and center their lives on living out that message. Faith brings God's creative power into our global crises. Mountains can be moved and everything can change. You might be thinking, these changes are not for me at my age. Or how can I be part of changing our world? I'm only one person. Isn't it comforting to know that Jesus' invitation is to simply believe in him and follow him? Anyone can do that. We can all stay informed. We can pray. We can write letters. We can encourage and support younger persons as they bring energy and vision to new ways of kingdom living. When I was at annual conference a couple of weeks ago, I saw hopeful signs of vitality and vision, and there were 50-plus youth who attended and participated in the annual conference. And there were a good number of young pastors. I heard a hopeful message of living into beloved community. There are new ministries starting, such as The Land. I went and visited that day. The Land is just the Land. There's 10 acres of prairie out here in Southeast Aurora. But they've gotten all the city licenses and codes and stuff taken care of, so that hopefully in another 5 years they may be able to begin building. Right now they just have a huge labyrinth out there. But they do have groups that come out and they have church services out there in the open prairie. Their vision and goal is to raise fruit and nut trees and have gardens and help produce food as well as spiritual food. Another new ministry, or fairly new, is the After Hours ministry that works downtown in the reaches out to the homeless and hungry. Some things we can do: we can support food banks, community meals, clothing giveaways, Aurora Warms the Night. We can encourage and support our own youth as they develop ministry outreach. We can support our missionaries, and we can support these new ministries. I'm thinking of Colin Armstrong and his Bible Tracks ministry. If you want to be enthused and encouraged, talk to Colin. So, many of you may remember an old hymn that says, "Brighten the corner where you are." And it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.